So the staff at the temple had got a really good, profitable arrangement going on. One might almost call it a racket. It made them rich and ripped off the normal people. Do you know, it occurs to me sometimes as if nothing has changed. Here's how it works. The requirement to get right with God and be forgiven under the old covenant was for animal sacrifices to be made. However, to purchase these animals, you had to have temple currency. So you were required to change your normal money into temple money in order to purchase your sacrificial animal at vastly inflated prices, of course. But then the exchange rate was heavily biased in favour of the money changer. You'll understand how it works if you've ever tried to change your hard-earned pounds into euros at the airport. You'll get the idea. All of this money changing and extortion was taking place within the temple. And we can only imagine the scene with all the animals, the chaos that that would cause, the heated exchanges of money, all going on in what should have been a holy and sacred place. And we must remember that under the old covenant, the temple was the place where God had said his presence would be with his people, in that inner part of the temple called the Holy of Holies. So here we were, in God's house, there was chaos, there was extortion, and it was all set up to exploit the normal and often godly people simply seeking to get right with God. I think we can imagine why it made Jesus very angry. You know that well-known phrase, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. I think this passage sort of flies in the face of that a little bit, because he was full of righteous anger. Angry at the desecration of God's house. And he cleared them out, the animals and the money changers. Then we have this astounding statement from Jesus when he was challenged. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, of course, we now know what he meant. They didn't. And all they could think of was the building. So they ridiculed him. Now, we need to make that journey from the old to the new covenant. God now lived fully in the human body of Jesus, not in a building. And to get right with God, we no longer have to sacrifice an animal to pay the price for our sin, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, became the sacrifice. He paid the price for our sins, and that sacrifice is free. It can't be bought. We don't need money. Now we've been given a new way to be set right with God. If we remember the veil in the temple, it separated the outer part of the temple from that inner part, the Holy of Holies. Do you remember at the very moment Jesus died, that veil was torn? Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. That space was opened up. Because God no longer lived in the temple. He now lived in Jesus' body that had become the temple of God. But of course, through him, our bodies are the temple of God. No longer does God live in a building on earth. He lives on earth in his people, in you and me. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body. Yes, we have indeed been bought at a price, a very high price. Now, I want just for a moment to think of our bodies and souls like the temple, inner and outer courts, and at the very centre, the Holy of Holies. What state are your temple courts in? Do they need Jesus to come and cleanse them of all that is not holy and righteous? All of us have what has been called an open area. It's the us we know and that others know and see. But we also have an inner, hidden area. Stuff that we know about ourselves, but others don't see. In fact, we may try to hide. And then there's what's called the blind area. The stuff about ourselves that we don't see or know, but of course others might see. Open area, hidden area, blind area. Now we might well try to embellish the open area so we look a little better than we really are. In fact, we can even deceive ourselves as to how good we really are. You know, I'm very proud of my humility, that sort of thing. But in that hidden area, there may be the things that we know about ourselves that we try to hide from others because we're ashamed. It's those inner thoughts, those actions that we want to hide from the outside world. But then in that blind area, things we don't even know about, but sometimes others may see. And again, those can be good or bad. And of course, the hidden and the blind areas will drive the open area. What's my point? God wants to redeem all of us. Open, hidden and blind areas, because he knows every single bit. He knows every thought. And he wants to cleanse all of it so that our bodies become that holy place, the temple where he can be present. And as Jesus cleared that temple 2,000 years ago, so he wants to cleanse his temples now. Now, I suspect that you, like me, have those inner areas that you are not too happy about. You perhaps don't want anybody else to see them. A description I found quite helpful in the past is it's our personal junk room. It's the room where we stuff everything we want to forget about and firmly shut and lock and bolt the door. Trouble is, sometimes that junk forces its way out of the locked door and leaks into our open area, our everyday life. We need to invite Jesus to come in, clear away all that is not holy, just as he did in the temple. He cleansed the building that was the temple. He wants to cleanse the body and soul that is you and me. He wants to open the horrors in that junk room and clear out all the junk. I hope we can be like David was in Psalm 139 when he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting." And that needs to be an invitation. Those hidden and blind areas we stuff away, we forget about, and we need to invite Jesus in to clear them out. We need to pray, "Lord, find those bits that even I don't know about that are not holy, and cleanse all of me." Paul instructed us in that verse I took from 1 Corinthians to glorify God in our bodies. And so this Lent is a good time, although it is always a good time, to allow Jesus to come and cleanse his temples. He comes in love, not condemnation. Because he knows how much our sinful nature spoils our relationship with him, as well as our relationships with others. But he comes now, as he did then, with zeal, so that we become redeemed and holy bodies, holy temples of God, glorifying him. You know, when the outside of our bodies get dirty, we wash them. And that's a really rather lovely feeling, coming out of the bath or the shower, feeling all clean and fresh. And it's exactly the same when the inner parts of our soul are dirty and need washing. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, cleanse your temples. Search our inner selves. Show us what is not holy and cleanse with your Spirit. Wash me and I shall be clean. Amen.